L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at L-E-G-E-N-D-Z.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Rex Huerman.
He's also known as the Gilgo Beach Killer or the Long Island Serial Killer, Lisk. Lots of names that have been used over the years for a man that was a mystery man for more than a decade. Until just the last year or so did they finally hone in on the man named Rex Huerman that they believe is in fact the Long Island serial killer, the Gilgo Beach murderer, who has a wife named Asa Elrub, who still very much stands by her man, even though, you know, there were hairs found on the burlap sacks on multiple bodies, including her hair, which seems a little odd. But when you're a hoarder, I give some grace. You got stuff everywhere. It's probably going to happen. Joining me to discuss this, we're going to break down some of the testimony that Asa Elrub has given in the new documentary, which is out on Peacock right now. Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author of the book Nightbird, available right now wherever you get books. So, you had a chance to watch this doc just like I did, and we'll get into a clip here in a moment. Just let's do the overall 10,000-foot reaction. What was your thought?
I felt like it answered so many questions for me, and not that I can say definitively, you know, without meeting her, this is a diagnosis or whatever, but there's a lot wrong with this lady. Yeah. And in a way, it's creepy, it's kind of pathetic and heartbreaking, and I found it really enlightening.
It certainly was a side I did not expect to see. I didn't know what to expect when we saw it, but this was unlike, I think, most other murder docs that go in and talk to the spouse and the reaction that we've gotten from them. This is, it's an expert masterclass in cognitive dissonance or something far greater than that, I think. Mm-hmm. Let's start by taking a look at how she talks about how she met Rex in one of the more disturbing clips of all of this, because her adoration for Rex is still very much there. Let's take a look at this clip and we'll talk on the other side. This is from the
Peacock. I moved here in with Rex in November of 1995. No, oh, that's my favorite. I met Rex when I was 18 years old. He was going to college. I was working at 7-Eleven. I was born in Iceland. My younger brother was adopted to an Icelandic family. and I was adopted to America. But because of that, I traveled a lot to Iceland with my family. And Rex, he traveled a lot. He went on archaeological digs. He's the kind of guy you turn your head and you go take a look at, you know? He was tall, handsome, debonair young man. I love tall, dark, and handsome. That's me. And at that time, I was madly in love with the man. There's no doubt about that. But then I met my first husband and got married. But things did not go well at all. After my son Christopher was born, my ex-husband became somebody completely different. I was in the process of getting a divorce. Christopher's father, he wasn't very nice about it. He said to me, there's no way in the world he was going to be okay with me being happy with somebody else. Rex was the kind of person that you could call, even if you just wanted to talk, and that's it. We were friends. Everybody needs a friend. So Rex came with me one time to go pick up my son. Rex was standing there, and he heard what he said. Rex then says, okay, I'm not worried. Let's get a lawyer. Let's take him to court. And then he paid for the lawyer to take him to court. So fast forward, I got my divorce. There was no reason to hold back. You know what I mean? So Rex said to me, I've got a nice house. I mean, it's not big, not elaborate. How about you come and see if you'd like to stay there? I'm like, yes, I would love to. And then I found out I was pregnant with Rex's baby. And he said to me, well, how do you feel about marrying me? And I said, yes. There's a picture of me, and I'm looking up going, I finally got him. He's mine.
And what a prize.
What a prize.
What a prize you got there in Rex Heerman. Let's break that down a little bit. Obviously, she was very much in distress. She was in a bad place. Rex swoops in. What was happening there?
Here was the hero. Here was the rescuer. Tall, dark, debonair, handsome. She was madly in love with him. And he was her knight in shining armor. And this is a woman. She had a difficult background, sounds like. And for her, she was desperate for someone to rescue her. And who knows the full story on the first man she married, but I'm guessing there was something similar. It was a rescue situation that went bad. And here comes Rex. And, you know, he obviously had reasons for choosing a submissive, dependent woman. And she still lights up when she talks about him. Her smile when she talks about him, it's eerie.
Yeah, I think that's putting it lightly, that it's eerie. Everyone needs a friend. That I also found. Everyone needs a... Now, I don't know how chopped up this is either, because, I mean, it could have been... You could have literally had a producer that says, say, everybody needs a friend really creepily. Okay, do that right now, Asa. Everybody needs a friend. And then splice, splice, there it is. I don't know. I don't know how this was all done. But she does come across rather interesting and still very non-accepting, I think, of what actually went down. We're going to hear from some of the kids in just a little bit as well. They have a very different opinion, at least the daughter does. But let's take another look. Let's keep seeing what Asa is apparently seeing in Rex. This is a clip, the daughter's in it, and it's a look at what life is like a little bit in the home now that Rex is gone. Let's see.
When we got back home,
after they raided it, it was not recognizable. No beds, no clothes. Our bathroom sink was broken. They should have actually deemed our house uninhabitable.
Oh, look at this.
It was as if they were trying to leave us for dead. They broke that,
didn't they? They just pulled this out of the wall.
They pulled it out of the wall. I think that's what that hole in the wall was from.
From? What is in here?
Garbage, nothing.
Well, something was in here, because it's not in here now.
The kids, they were crying themselves to sleep before we actually got into the house. We were all doing it. Fear, anxiety, guilt, all of those emotions are all going like a roller coaster, rolling, rolling, and rolling, and rolling. But we needed to come home. They had a lot of sentimental stuff in the house. And I still feel Rex is here.
I still feel Rex is here.
Sounds almost like God, right? I feel God's presence. I feel Rex is here. Talk about holding him in this elevated status.
I mean, he's not dead. He's in prison. His spirit isn't like translating itself to the Huerman house while they are there.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it does seem that she holds him in a very, very high regard. Almost godlike. Let's talk about
godlike.
That for a little bit. Obviously, he did come in. He did save her. How much of that relationship do you think it was at the beginning where Rex was just, I guess, being the savior? Maybe that was his plight in life. Maybe this is the type of guy that he is, and that's what he's drawn to, is helping people and saving people. Do you think all the way back then when he did the whole, well, let's get the divorce from this guy, I'll pay for it, come live it with me, take care of your kids and your family, and we'll have a family while I on the weekend go and kill sex workers. Do you think that's how it was planned at the beginning, or do you think it's just like, it opened itself up to that opportunity once he kind of saw how everything fell?
I believe, going back on the timeline of the murders, that he had actually killed someone before they got married, the 1993 case.
Yeah, yeah.
So my guess is he was looking for a woman that he could control. And for whatever reason, he wanted to give this presentation. You know, she kept saying, but he's a family man. How could he have done this? He's a family man. He wanted to give this presentation that he was a family man. And she was an easy mark in that way. She was vulnerable. I don't know that she's very, well, we can say safely, she's not insightful. Mm-hmm. And it gave him a sense of power to come in and rescue in this way. My guess is he doesn't do this normally for most people, but he had an agenda here.
Very much so. Here's another observation that she made in the doc.
The allegation is that when you married Rex, he'd already committed a homicide. Had you had any knowledge of that, you wouldn't have married this man. And then chose to have children with him, correct?
No, there's no abnormal behavior that I ever actually noticed. And if there was any knowledge at all, some unusual behavior in that man, I would have walked out the door.
You wouldn't have brought your young son
to
live in an environment like that.
No.
There was a lot in that clip, even though it was 30-some seconds long. I want to talk about the way she was not looking at the camera. I want to say, look at the way where she suddenly did look at the camera with those crazy eyes at the very end. Kind of like how Karen Reed did, where it's like, I don't know, could I have done this? Could I have done that? I must be crazy. I'm the worst criminal in the world. Sue is following that path of like, I think Asa's definition of abnormal behavior might be different than the rest of ours. Ooh, what's your thoughts?
You nailed it. Yeah. You nailed it. You look at the home that Asa had created there, and hoarding is the right word. And clearly when somebody is not within the realm of normal themselves, they're not a very good judge on what's normal for other people.
Not at all. I mean, the kids, obviously, this has also been normalized for them growing up. This is how life is. There's the creepy room in the basement. And we're going to take a look at that in just a second, because that's been talked about. There's so many pieces of her not seeing any red flags, but you know, there's a lot of red flags here. And if she had loving critics in her life, I'm going to guess she was kind of isolated. Would you?
Very isolated. And when she says everybody needs a friend, my guess is he's her only friend and has been her only friend. And the other thing you mentioned, her eyes, throughout the documentary, when she's being confronted with, but there's evidence, she talks, but she closes her eyes or looks away. And I found that fascinating. It's like she is not going to see it.
No, she appears to not, and she really acts that out with her eyes. Like there's no direct eye. Do you think she knows deep down? I mean, that there is something really wrong here, and that because she obviously is emoting a certain way. I think if she truly believed there's nothing wrong, you may look at the camera, you may look at who's interviewing you.
100%.
There's nothing wrong with them. I don't see any, but it's look away and it's kind of struggle through the information that you've been confronted with and the information that you've liked to have been believing for the last 30 some years.
Yeah, I think the thing with the eye contact is denial in physical form. She probably has no conscious awareness that this evidence has got to mean something. You know, there's so many red flags and so much wrong here and so much evidence about it. But this goes back to those unconscious defense mechanisms, and denial is powerful. It's incredible what people cannot see because their mental structure as it is, it just prevents them from looking at it. And so when she closes her eyes, it's, I think, her mind-body connection saying, I am not going to look at this.
Yeah, and the daughter, we'll hear from her in a little bit. She also talks about just trying to cope and try to get through all of this. But she seems to be a little more open to the idea that dad's not who she thought he was. We'll get to that one in a little bit. But let's take a look here at some of the tour that we get of the gun room, the room that authorities do wonder if while she was out on those long Icelandic trips, was he butchering people in the basement? That's part of the wonder. Here's Asa showing off the room in the documentary.
This is the steel door. It had a combination lock. It's this lever here. It's a very easy way to get out, so no one can get locked in here. Now, this is the room where he displayed his firearms collection.
So the famous gun room, when I sat there, I recall vividly that he said, in 30 years, you're the fourth person to ever be in this room. And I was like, wow. And that's when he showed me his collection. So he started collecting rifles and all kinds of guns early on when he was 18. And it was an amazing collection.
There's nothing in this case that suggests that those guns were utilized in the commission of any crime.
A walk-in gun vault, that's one thing. But a secret room? I was like, oh my God.
According to a colleague of Rex Huerman's, he had a room specifically built in his basement that even his wife was not allowed to enter.
That's the secret room everybody talks about.
It's kind of a walk-in closet in the gun room that is actually right under the stairs.
He didn't want anybody to have access to it. The secret room, so nobody would know, not because he was hiding anything, but because he wanted to secure a safe in there.
And I actually didn't see what the inside of it actually looked like until after all this happened. I couldn't get in there myself.
Well, there you go. He's just trying to keep everybody safe. That's all it was.
And how weird is it that the family members never went in the room, never saw what was in the room? Again, this is not normal. But when you are, you know, growing up in this environment, you don't have a very good idea of what normal is. Mm-hmm. How creepy.
Yeah. Everybody just kind of, this is like we said earlier, what healthy, what normal is to Asa and their family is not normal to everybody.
No.
It's not normal if your significant other has a secret room
that you're
not allowed to go into for any reason. I'm not talking—
With a steel door, yeah.
Not talking man cave. I'm not talking she shed. I'm talking you go in there, our marriage might end. If there's anything behind that door that may make that happen, that's a big red flag. That may be something you don't want to explore much further with your partner, if that's what exactly is going on there. Let's take another look at some more of this. Asa, she's clearly very much in denial. We're going to watch a couple clips here. I don't know if we're going to go in a row or not, but this is just some of her, not wanting to believe, not wanting to really face up to what reality might be on reality's terms. Let's take a look.
I liked seeing him. I really liked seeing him. It was comforting seeing him.
Nobody could be in your position. A serial murderer. You're married to him for 27 years.
I just don't see him that way. No, that's not the Rex I know. So if they're going to sit there and tell me that he only did this during these particular time period that I was away on vacation, I have to question that. If the man is that much of a genius that he's capable of doing that, okay, I don't believe it.
Here's another one where we're going to look at about not believing that Rex could be up to anything. Let's take a look at this.
I'm sorry. That planning document is so Dexter style. It's absolutely absurd.
Say if they really did happen down here, he really must have been like Superman. For us not to have noticed anything ever. This used to be like his bedroom growing up. A lot of his, like, not only just gun stuff, but a lot of his childhood stuff, family heirlooms, were in this room. So for him to do that in this room, a little unrealistic, but I guess not impossible.
No, sorry. You want to know how I feel? They are picking, making assumptions for their narrative. I know that. I've known Rex since I was 18 years old. I know what this room was originally used for, and they're just allegations. He's never said to me, don't use my computer. He's never said, no, I'm not going to give you the password. I need that.
In other words, there's never anything off limits.
There is nothing off limits from Rex Huerman.
There's nothing off limits from Rex Huerman while she's going through the room that she's not allowed to go in.
Exactly. Exactly. What is reality here?
What was happening there? Yeah.
The little smile when she says, you know, they're just picking things here. And basically she's saying they're manufacturing the evidence. And she looks up and she smiles again. It's fantasy kind of thinking.
It is. And it's completely delusional. Of the daughter though did say, well, it's not impossible, like, but the
little bit of grounding in reality for her to be questioning it, yes, which is good.
Yeah, it's
thankfully
probably the best thing for her to kind of get on with her life. Here's a interaction where we actually hear from Rex. This is them on a phone call in the documentary.
To accept this free call, press 1. To refuse this free call, press 2.
How you doing?
The suspected serial killer Rex Huerman remains in jail on murder charges.
He's been held at the Suffolk County Jail in Riverhead since he was arrested. Hello.
How you doing?
All right, how are you?
I'm doing great. Now that I've got you on the phone.
Now, see, I'll give you a call and make sure you're okay today.
All right. What'd you have for dinner?
Oh, just a burger and some mashed potatoes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll eat up early tomorrow. I'll try to get out, take a walk. Because I couldn't today because, just uncoordinated. And I'm still seeing you. I'm sorry.
Yes, you are.
Okay. I will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
And I will see you on Friday.
Yes.
That was creepy.
Just really creepy.
Even her. And I don't want to like insult aesthetics or anything, but she even looked really creepy there with the teeth.
Well,
and all that.
Yeah. You know, when you're evaluating a person for psychological health, their physical appearance is something that you make note of. Mm-hmm. It's considered, you know, revealing. Are they well kept, well groomed? Do they take care? It doesn't have to mean they're beautiful, but you know, yeah. You know, do they take care of themselves? If they don't, there's meaning in that.
Yeah.
This woman, her appearance, her current appearance, it raises some red flags again about things not being quite right with her.
What does it say? I mean, what does it say? Obviously, if you know, she's going through hell, without a doubt, the whole family is. But I mean, what does that say? I mean, just, you know, I can relate, like when I've been in depressive states after horrible shit happens, you know, and you can too, after reading your book, where it's like, you just kind of go down to the whatever, here's clothes, I'll put them on today.
Yeah.
Is it a sign of a depressive state? I mean, what are we seeing in that?
It sure can be depression. It can be disorganized thinking. Mm-hmm. So somebody could be a little bit delusional or having psychotic problems. And we're a long way now from his arrest.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember the date, but yeah. You know, it's been a while. And so I would think it's her appearance at this point is so, what's the right word? She's just kind of deteriorated.
Mm-hmm.
It's a flag that this lady is not doing well.
And still, you sure are. You're going to see me this. Do you think even Rex is surprised at this point that Asa's still hanging out? I mean, I think once you get busted for this and there's hairs on the victims and all that, and you got the manifesto in the basement and everything else, wouldn't be a hard sell to believe that your wife might leave you. But she's still sticking around. I mean, I wonder if Rex himself is taken aback a little bit by this.
He very well could be. And, you know, when he was first arrested, and it was just, a month after that she filed for divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of applauded that at the time. I thought, well, what a healthy response. And then it turns out in the documentary, well, that was just to protect her assets.
Yeah.
That in no way does she consider him not the love of her life anymore.
Yeah. This is another interesting clip we're going to take a look at. She talks about not wanting to upset Rex. And I want you to pay attention to what she says would upset Rex Heuermann. Let's take a look at this.
Bye. I'm talking to him all the time, but he only has a certain amount of time to be able to make calls. So I can't get too comfortable talking to him about things that are going to hurt him.
What would hurt him? What are things that hurt him?
Telling him that I love him, that will hurt him. The two of us were married for 27 years. We were 100% part of each other's lives. Does everybody really believe everything they hear?
Rex Heuermann is a demon.
Charged as a serial killer.
Do you really believe everything that's being said?
This man is a sexual sadist.
He enjoyed torturing his victims.
Well, we didn't buy it.
Telling him that she loves him would hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
What do you get there?
That's an interesting one, because clearly the way she's communicating to him shows her complete, utter dedication. And so is she thinking, you know, speculating, is she thinking that this is going to just stir his longing for her or highlight the loss? You know, I'm not quite sure. She had her eyes closed for a long moment during that. So what is the story that she's trying to generate?
Telling him that she loves him would hurt him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's an unusual response.
Extremely. And yeah, like that. Why? Because you're divorced, but you're still standing by him. Would that hurt him? Because it brings shame to Rex. Does Rex feel shame if someone tells them that they love him because of, and even though he's done what he's done? I don't know. It's a weird complex right there.
It's very weird. And I think whenever you get those eyes closed from her, there's something unusual going on in her thinking process, that she's trying to pull something up.
Yeah.
And is it genuine? Because certainly the way she speaks to him is utter dedication.
Let me ask you this before we listen to some of the daughter stuff. What's your take on mom? Do you think she knew anything that was going on here, and this is all some sort of cognitive dissonance, or is it just literally cognitive dissonance because she really didn't know what was going on, but, you know, by choice of not questioning Rex on so many things?
I think that this lady, you know, you could say she's not, I won't say she meets criteria for any specific mental illness because I don't know enough about her,
sure.
But she's not well, and she's probably never been well. There are things wrong with her. And I think when she says, I had no idea, I think she didn't. I mean, that would be my guess. She didn't have any idea, but she's so submissive and so dependent on him. And in myriad ways, including he's my friend, he's my best friend, everyone needs a friend. He was probably her only friend. And so she just is very good at not seeing what's right in front of her. That's what I call the negative hallucination.
Mm-hmm.
Regular hallucination, you're seeing something that's not there. Well, she's not seeing things that are there. And I don't know that she has any volitional control over it. She just doesn't see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been life for so long. Rex Heuermann, I mean, you could say, you know, really conditioned her, but I mean, I would almost go brainwashed her to think that some of these things are just normal. Cause I mean, it would take, it's more than just, nah, we don't question this. Like, it was really solidly normal and it's still working. Whatever he conditioned her to or brainwashed her to believe, she's still under that control. She's still under the guise of
very,
Rex.
Very much. I agree completely.
Let's take a look at what was going on with the children. These are adults now, adult children of Rex Heuermann. They're talking about the relationship, what they thought of their dad. This is the daughter talking initially about her father in the documentary.
Starting when I was in college, he got some really big jobs, and he was very busy for a couple of years. And actually, I was honestly really inspired by my dad. I looked up to him.
One, two, three. Can you smile? That is.
I felt like, damn, I have some really big shoes to fill. Yeah.
When you think that he committed these acts while he was still seeing clients at his architecture firm, it made it even more chilling because he compartmentalized things to such a degree that he was able to outwardly conduct his life as normal in an otherwise routine way.
But his job was very demanding. And when it started to be visible that the stress was weighing on his mental health, sometimes he would come home frustrated. He needed to wind down. But he never hit any of us.
For injuries to her face, torso, breasts.
The worst he would do.
The women were bound at the head or at the chest and later at the legs.
Was he would throw a plate into the sink.
Remains of three sex workers were discovered bound and concealed in burlap sacks.
That's the worst. Listen, like, my dad was an open book, and a lot of people who knew my dad, long-term clients, people he worked with for years, it was no secret he hunted, it was no secret he had guns. He was an open book.
Is it surprising, is it weird that the kids are describing him as an open book and the worst he did was throw a plate into the sink? Or is this common with people who are living this double life that they're able to really present completely different to those around them?
It is, yes. That compartmentalization, I think, is kind of classic serial killer stuff. You know, you look at Ted Bundy, what was he volunteering on a helpline or something? I mean, you know, people had no idea. And this ability to keep up this facade and to compartmentalize so incredibly, that is normal for a person like this. But the healthy thing I heard from her there when she was initially speaking was, I looked up to him. Mm-hmm. Not, I look up to him. And so that shows that there's a little crack in her defense mechanism that, you know, implying that she no longer looks up to him in the same way.
Yeah, I think she establishes that pretty good. Let's take another look at some of her words in the doc.
The part of, okay, so yeah, me standing my ground and wanting to see the evidence first is, in a way, protecting myself, but it's protecting me. It keeps my head on straight with everything everybody is saying. One person saying this, one person saying that, prosecutor saying this, but my memory says this. So yeah, the fact that I'm standing my ground and I need to see the evidence is keeping my head on straight from all this.
Let's watch one more here of her observations on
maybe that. Even with all this growing evidence against him, maybe there is some loyalty still to my dad and to my mom too. Like, listen, whether the world likes it or not, whether I like it or not, he's my dad. They can't take that away from me.
I don't know what acceptance looks like. Acceptance to me is just it. I have to move on.
I think, you know, if he was guilty, it's going to start to become like a love-hate relationship. This is my dad, and I love him as my dad. The hate is this other side of him that came out. And going forward, I'm not going to interact with him the same way I would have if this never happened. Both the feelings, love and hate, can coexist.
And that, I think, is a real tough one for a lot of people in that situation to wrap their mind around, that both love and hate can coexist. Can you talk on that for a moment?
It's very, very, very true. And it's, you know, hard to understand, because when we think of love, we think of unconditional love, because we hear that term all the time. In truth, people who have abusive or highly disturbed, as in serial killer, highly disturbed parents, they often don't lose the memories of the attachment. Sometimes they do. Sometimes it's spoiled when they find out what went on. But for many, they struggle for a long time with that, all the good memories, you know, because they have good memories. And in many ways, that person contributed to their development in positive ways. And so it's like they have to compartmentalize. And she also strikes me as somebody who's maybe having some therapy, because she's doing a pretty articulate job of talking through the struggle, the inner struggle that she's have making sense of this right now.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to normalize or accept abuse as being a good thing by any means. But what she talks about in her memories, at least of what she shared, doesn't sound abusive. It sounds like dad was actually playing a role of dad. How would you talk to someone if maybe you've had this situation where a client has this sort of a situation of they're really struggling because part of them, you know, they did have a good relationship. They did have good memories. Yeah. They were not affected by the monster behind the curtain, but they have to square that up with reality. How does one do that? How does one hold on to those good things and still be able to look at that, kind of with some sort of warmth or fondness, because that was their reality at the time, while still accepting over here that, oh my God, look at what this guy actually did? Or can you?
I think it's a slow process, but it's exactly that. It's talking about the good times and validating that that was real for them, but at the same time bringing up, but here's the other side, mm-hmm. so that they can over time start to integrate the truth that this was a terrible person who sometimes did good things mm-hmm. and treated some people well. And so it's just, there's no way to do it quickly, but there's just that constant talking through, blending those two things. It's sort of like being in an abusive relationship where you can think of, oh, but you know, 9 out of 10 days, he's great and he treats me with kindness in all these other ways. But that's not the totality of the person. And, you know, the other piece, it's important to integrate that. So you just keep talking about it. And I think it gets easier for people over time to make sense of that.
That's true. Let's take one more look at another clip about the daughter trying to square up what's going on in her world with dad.
I went from being a normal person contributing to society every day to this laughingstock all over the internet and TV and news. When I was in the middle of the media frenzy, I'll admit, like, I probably felt like humiliated. I know I don't have anything to be shameful about, but that's what it felt like, just the bombarding, people's disappointed faces. I didn't really feel like a person. They asked questions, why didn't I see anything? How, you know, how did I not know? I was 10, 12, and 13 years old when these girls were murdered. I was in school, which, you know, which takes up a good chunk of the day, and then I was home or doing after-school activities. And that's exactly how I wouldn't know anything. And now that I actually look back on my childhood, I do find it very hard to believe my dad actually really did all this.
You mentioned that you're on the fence. Tell me, what do you mean? You know, are you on the fence?
Like I said, I saw him at regular times every day, morning, night, and the vacations that he did join us on. But like I said, at the same time, there was a lot of hours out of the day that I also was not home, including vacations that he did not join us on. And that's exactly what I mean by on the fence. There's like, well, you know, like he was definitely very much around 90% of the time. But then there's that other 10% of the time he was not. I feel like I can't know whether or not he did or didn't because I was not around for it. I was too young to understand.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of trying to square up. I mean, he really did also rob the individuality out of every single one of his family members because now they're just looked at as, what did you know? When did you know it? And if you don't have anything, it's like people are frowning, because they didn't have anything to really know. Because this guy seemed to really keep it very, very under the radar.
And the other thing that strikes me is, well, he was home, you know, 90% of the time or whatever. He was on the internet, right?
Yeah.
And what we know about serial killers, they spend a lot of time in ugly, dark places on the internet now, typically. Yeah. And he may have been home and he may have been in his study or his den or his hellhole down there, whatever it is, you know, on his computer. And he was entertaining these sadistic fantasies the whole time. And so I hope during the trial, she said she needs to see the evidence. I hope when she sees it, that this allows that, you know, integration of reality to start to happen for her.
Yeah, it's so, yeah, I feel really horrible for her. And I feel horrible for this whole family. And after seeing this doc, it feels like it answered a lot of questions for me. Yes. Not that it matters what my opinion is, but you know, when you're covering and you're looking at it, you want to figure this out. What the hell is going on here? And for a long time, the big question was, how did Asa not know what the hell was going on? It makes sense with the kids, but I think I get it now. I think I get it for everybody. Yeah. I don't think they had any clue.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. And Asa came into the situation with tremendous vulnerabilities. She was submissive. He chose her for those qualities. And it's just another element of tragedy, not only for the victims of the murders, but for his family. I mean, it's another element of tragedy here.
He chose her for those qualities, and he also destroyed her life because of those qualities for his own sick, whatever the hell he was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at LEGENDZ.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at LEGENDZ.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.